with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel again. We're still in 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. And we've begun this study on the life of David. And, you know, most of the people that anybody you talk to biblically that studies the Bible or knows very much about it, you say David, and they say David the king, right? And that's who we're thinking about. But before David became the king, you had to have a little bit of something to get him there, okay? I mean, and we understand David was born into the family of Jesse, and his dad, he had older brothers, we saw that, and there were probably some sisters in there too, but the boys, there was eight of them, and here is David. And if you remember last time as we read and studied, God sent Samuel, the prophet, to anoint David for a particular place and thing in his life. Now, nobody ever really knew what that was. There was no pronouncement made. I just said when Samuel came to town, Samuel said that he came to make an offering to the Lord. And he wanted, you know, the certain people to be there. And as he got them there, you know, how that he got David's brothers and his whole family there. And as they went through the different brothers to see who the anointing for the special blessing was going to be on, nobody ever, it just didn't work. You know, God kept saying, nope, 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 nope to Samuel. And finally, Samuel looked at Jesse and said, is this everybody? He said, well, I got one more boy. And he's out in the fields keeping the sheep. Amen. So he said, well, you send for him. And we'll wait on him. And you know the story of it. When he got there, how that Samuel heard the voice of God said, this is him. I want you to arise, anoint him, for this is he says in verse number 12. So, you know, how that he anointed David. And again, as I say at this time, David doesn't know what this is. David's family doesn't know what this is. Only Samuel knows what's going on. Saul doesn't know anything about it. That nobody else in the kingdom knows. Nobody knows but God and Samuel what's going on in the life of this little shepherd boy. So let's continue that story tonight, if you will, in verse number 14 of 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we've been introduced to David, but look, if you will, in verse number 14. It said, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. I think we read this verse last week. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man which is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is come upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul said unto Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for your word. I pray just bless the reading of it, bless the understanding of it. Just open our hearts and open our wisdom toward you and toward your word, and just make us to know some things maybe that we should consider and consider from you that would just strengthen our lives and enable us and bless us and give us direction in some things that we must face. And we'll praise you for what you do tonight. in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to look at this. We say this is a study, and what we're going to call this is the troubling of Saul. The troubling of Saul. And, you know, it just seems just very 180, doesn't it? I mean, here is Saul, and if you go back, you can go back earlier chapters in 1 Samuel, and you see where Samuel anointed Saul to be the king. And as he did that, you know, everybody's rejoicing, and it, at that time, it talks about the Spirit of God being on Saul. And let me just throw this in here for us. Anybody that's going to lead in any capacity, you need the Spirit of God on you. I mean, if it's going to be a spiritual capacity, certainly. But if it's going to be just about any capacity, wouldn't it be a blessing? Now, wouldn't it be a blessing to see our national leaders have a day of prayer before they took an office in Congress, presidency, you know, whatever it is? Wouldn't that be a blessing to see somebody say, hey, I believe we need to have a church service and pray over this before we get into it? And let me just tell you this. There were some of those days in our past history. George Washington, before he was assuming the presidency, he took the whole group of them. They went across the area from where they were gathered, you know, to do an inauguration and put them into office. And they went and they had prayer meeting. They had preaching. They had singing. And they had prayer over the new man that was going to lead this country. Boy, isn't that a blessing? I mean, I'm just telling you, that's what we need. And that's what they had in the beginning with Saul. Saul was a man that God was with him. And all of a sudden, we see that God has turned from his blessing on the life of Saul. And you see it right here. I mean, you read it with me, as a matter of fact. It says that, verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed David, him, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Spirit of God came on David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But look at verse 14 that we read. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit of the Lord troubled him. Man, that's, as I say, that's a 180. I mean, that's a complete reversal from where he was to where he winds up. So let's look at this first little thought here, if you will, in the troubling of Saul. First of all, let's look at the mess that bothered the king. There's something going on here that bothers this king, because you can read it. As we read it, and it says that an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him in verse number 14. And in verse 15, look at this. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Well, what does that say? Well, it says this to me. It was pretty evident that something was different in Saul's life. It's pretty evident. And I don't know if you've ever seen anybody that you've been around, or that, you know, had some kind of contact, maybe in your family, and it's almost like sometimes, boom, somebody flipped a switch somewhere. I mean, it went like this to that. I mean, you're saying, wait a minute, something's wrong here. Something has happened to them. Something has changed. Something has gone wrong in their life. And brother, there's some. Now listen, the Bible tells us that Saul had this spirit about him. Even when the Spirit of God was with him, he began to develop a spirit where he was rebellious, where he was disobedient, where he was just going right in the face against anything that God had told him to do. And then after he's kind of called on the carpet with it, he begins to lie about it. You remember the story. We read a little bit of it last week in chapter 15, where Samuel asked him, have you done what the Lord said to do? And old Saul said, yeah, done everything God said. He said, then why do I hear the lowing of the oxen and the bleating of the sheep? What's that all about? Why is King Agag here before us and he's still alive? What, you haven't done what God said to do. And then he began to make excuses. He began to back up. He began to blame it on somebody else. So what I'm saying is something has changed in the life of Saul. And I think it's the development of a bad attitude and a wrong spirit. Well, now God has completely taken away his spirit. And it says here that there's an evil spirit from the Lord that troubled him. Let's kind of clear up some of this little bit of thinking right here in the beginning. There's an evil spirit, and I'm just going to, I guess this is probably the best way to say it, is that God allowed that evil spirit to trouble Saul. Because God's not the one that gives evil spirits. God's not the one that sends demonic spirits. God's not the one that does those things. But brother, let me tell you something. God can allow those things. Okay? If you're worried about that, well, let me just tell you, God can allow those things to happen. And can I tell you, it'd been simple. If Saul had fallen on his knees and heartfully repented of how his attitude and his heart was toward God, I believe God could have restored him and straightened all that out. But he didn't have that in him. Okay? He just didn't have it in him. Well, what happened, preacher? Well, let's look at it like this, first of all. I believe you can say this. The light has departed. I mean, Saul was aglow. Saul was on fire. Saul was, out here out front as the Spirit of God was on him. I want to tell you something. When the Spirit of God gets on a man, there is that light of God is there and it's evident. But here, when that's changed, the light has departed. And again, you say, well, how do we know that? Well, I mean, it says right here, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. They could tell simply by being around him. You can tell. I mean, it don't take you long being around somebody and you say, hey, there's something wrong in their spirit. And their spirit is all messed up. What kind of messed up was he? Well, I don't tell you. I believe that as we can see as you go further on, there's some moodiness. He would get very moody. I mean, he would get in moods and attitudes where he tried to kill David on several occasions. He screamed and he yelled and he just kind of, threw a little angry hissy fit in front of everybody. He didn't care. Because, see, he's the king. Nobody could do anything about it. He's still the king. He's still in the place of rulership. And there's nothing happens but at his word. So understand that. He's still in that position. But I want to tell you, God has left him in the dirt alone. So the light, first of all, the light has departed. Not only has the light departed, I want you to tell you, the love has left him. He doesn't have the same kind of love for God. He doesn't have the same kind of love for people. He doesn't have the same kind of love for the governmental affairs and taking care of them that he once had. His love has left him. And you'll see, as I said, you see later on, as we go through some of this, how he just, man, he just hates everything and everybody. I mean, he acts hateful towards his own family. He'll act hateful towards his servants. And I'm telling you right here, I believe these guys had already seen it. They'd already gotten a taste of it. They'd already got a little sample that says, hey, something's wrong with the king. He's not what he used to be. He's not as loving. He's not as compassionate. He's not as tender. He's not as heartful as he once was. There's something that's happened to him. Amen? The lights have gone out. The love has left. And I want you to know, there's a longing in there that he's grasping for. He doesn't know what it is, but he knows he's missing something. As if you'll notice, it says that his servants come to him there in verse number 50, and they say, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. He knew something was wrong. He was trying to grab for something to get this thing straightened out. Amen? A lot of folks would say, well, preacher, do you think he was mentally disturbed? I believe that's probably the way that we would look at it today. We would look at him and we'd say, boy, there's something wrong with Saul. Can you see what all's going on with him? I mean, there's been some changes in him here, and it's causing him to act out in all of these ways, and it's causing his way to change, and there's something wrong with Saul. Amen? I mean, and a lot of folks say, oh, preacher, the Bible doesn't say anything about mental illness. Sure it does. I mean, you tell me what it tells us about Elijah when Elijah got on the run from Jezebel. Can I tell you what was wrong with him? He was depressed. He got himself into a place of depression, and all he wanted to do is run away from his problems and get out in the desert. And God came to him and said, get out of that cave, boy. You've got more you've got to do. Well, what I'm saying is this. Don't let some of those things that people say and people bring up. Listen, it can happen to any one of us. Me and you can be just as saved as anybody else. But can I tell you, you can go through times of depression. You can go through times of anger. You can go through times of anxiety. You can go through times of you just, you know, just kind of lose it. And you don't know what's going on. And sometimes you need some help. And what I'm saying is right here is Saul, and he is just longing for something that will come along and help him to grab a hold of it so that it'll give him some help. And sometimes you just don't know what to do, who to ask, or where to go. But at least he does tell his men here. He hears what they've got to say. I'm going to tell you, that's a blessing. When somebody will listen to you and say, you know what, maybe you are right, maybe I do need to do something. So here they are. And let's look at that, if you will. That's the mess that's bothered the king. But second of all, let's look at the music that bettered the king. Let's look at it. I mean, you know, to me, this is a little bit on the fascinating side. I mean, your condition, just take Saul for a minute. Your condition is generally seen by others, but it's not always recognized by you. You may not recognize that, you know, you ever heard somebody say, well, I didn't mean that the way that it sounded. Well, the rest of us took it the way that you said it, so it kind of sounded like you meant it the way that we took it, you know. Sometimes it happens that way, doesn't it? Amen? I mean, sometimes, though, you're the closest. I've looked at people and I thought, man, why are you talking to your kids like that? Well, I don't really mean that. Well, you sound like you mean it. Talk to their husband or to their wife. I don't really mean that. Well, you sounded pretty rough to me. And maybe they don't get it. But somebody on the outside's looking at it, and they see it. And these men saw Saul and said, look, here's what's going on with you. You need some help. Boy, as I said, I'm glad he had, you know, because he could have looked at him and said, hey, take this fellow out and just kill him. I don't like what he just said. I mean, he could do that. He's king again, remember. So he's listening to those that have some advice for him. And so let's look at this. First of all, look at the plan that is supplied. Listen to this. I mean, I think it's pretty good plan. It says that the men came to him in verse 15, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubled thee. Okay? They got his attention and tell him what the problem is. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, those of us that are here, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is come upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. First of all, look at this plan. This is the plan that they come up with. Can I tell you, they couldn't take him to, you know, the psychiatric clinic. They didn't have the, you know, the hospital. They didn't have all that kind of stuff in that day. So they said, we've got to figure out something. And brother, let me just tell you, I believe this was a good plan. They said, we need to find some way to soothe and calm the king in these times when he comes with anger or anxiety or moodiness or, you know, his behavior change. He gets into this. As a matter of fact, look at this, if you will. You see that word where it says that an evil spirit troubled him? That word troubled in the Hebrew is a word that is boaz. B-A-apostrophe-A-T-H, Bah, the meaning thing. It just simply, it relates to something. It's almost like choking. It's almost when you get choked. You ever heard anybody say when somebody had an episode where they got very angry or sometimes violent or something, they felt like they were choking? I just felt like I'm choking to death, and I had to just scream out. Or I just felt like I was smothering in this situation. You ever heard people say that? I've heard people say it, that were maybe having an anxiety attack or an episode of some sort of mental problem. They just say, I just felt like I was choking. That's exactly what this evil spirit is doing to Saul. It's like it's choking him. It's like it's smothering him. It's like it's just bogging him down, and he doesn't know what to do. And you know, there's a lot of folks like that today. They get into that situation, and they don't know what. So you know what you do? You do what you can, and that's lash out, usually. You strike out, you sound out, you do something. So that's probably what Saul was doing. So these guys said, well, what can calm that situation down? They said, here's an idea. One of the guys says, look, when this comes, let's find a man, and look what it says in verse 16, who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. I mean, that's their plan. And you've heard it. We've all heard this, probably this saying down through your life. Music calms the savage beast. You've heard that? You ever seen it in action? I mean, listen, this ain't going to be none of me. But I've seen some of these knuckleheads will get a cobra, a viper, a snake, and start playing a little flute, playing a little tune, and that snake stand there and dance, and then they'll grab a hold of them and all that. I ain't doing that. But there's something about that calms that snake down. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. But I'm telling you, don't count on Brother Steve for that, okay? But I do understand that does have an effect. And one of the great things they had in their day was a harp. Have y'all ever listened to anybody play a harp? I played some harp music today at home. Well, man, I could have laid there and went to sleep with that. It's just a, you know, like it's better than that. But, you know, it has just that little strumming. I mean, you think a guitar sometimes, you'd love to hear somebody play a guitar and pick on that. And the soothing and the calm. A harp's probably 10,000 times better than that. It just has those little strings. They just pluck them. And it just has this light, airy, soothing sound to it. And these guys are saying, if we can find somebody that can play the harp and play some of these great melodies, we'll have something that will help the king. So you see the plan that they've supplied. Well, I like this. Second of all, look at the peace that is sought. Look what it says in verse number 18. It said, then answered one of the servants, or verse number 17, and Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. You know what Paul said? I mean, what Saul said? He said, let's make it happen. Y'all take care of this and make it happen. If this is what we need, if this is the doctor's orders, then let's have it and let's make this happen. Amen? Let's do it. Let's get it. Hey, Saul is in favor of something because, as I say, he's grasping. He's longing. He's looking. He's wanting something to change. And he says, okay, if this is what's going to bring me peace, let's get her done. Let's get with it and get into it. So I want you to notice this, though. This is kind of where the story turns and seems a little bit unusual. It says, look, verse number 18, it says, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, hey, that's what he says, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Well, what in the world more could you ask for? I mean, you know what that old guy says? Hey, y'all, I know a man. I know a man. I know somebody that can do this. Now, somebody said, how in the world did this fella appear in the court of Saul And he knew something about little old David out there in the hillsides and the pastures taking care of his sheep. How in the world did that ever tie them together? Who knows, but I can tell you this. It's the providential purpose of God to get those two together. God had a way of bringing that man to a place where he saw David. And you know what he saw David doing? David's out there taking care of the sheep. And you know what David's trying to keep those sheep together. David's trying to bring all the sheep in, trying to take care of them, trying to get them to feed, trying to get them through the day. And you know what David would do sometimes? He'd sit out there and he'd strum his little harp. And he'd begin to sing his little songs. He'd begin to play. He'd begin to, and those sheep would just sit there as content and as pleased and as happy as could be. And they'd eat their grass and they'd go to the water and they'd walk. And they didn't want to run away. They didn't, because they were calmed in the presence of David. And this fellow said, "Hey, y'all, I know a man." Look at who he sees. He sees this young boy by the name of David. And he says, "Look, I just think it's amazing. We've got to get him to the palace." Isn't it amazing how God works that stuff out? Now, just kind of as an aside to this, think about this. In the beginning of the nation, well, not the beginning of the nation of Israel, but in the beginning of this whole thing, in the book of Exodus, God has a man by the name of Moses that is born and taken into the palace of Pharaoh and raised there. All right? Everybody, the historians all say, first 40 years of Moses' life, he lived as a prince in Pharaoh's palace. First 40 years of his life. The last 40 years of his life, he was started out on the backside of the desert tending sheep. But God called him and God used him for his purpose. He tried to run away from it. Look here. God had Moses there in the palace so he could learn all the ways and the things of the kingship, the court, the way things worked in the royal order. He learned all of that in the first 40 years of his life. Now look, here's David. What's David doing? The first years of David's life, this is probably 15, 20, he's out in the pasture tending the sheep. That's what Moses started doing when he was 80. Here's David. David's doing it since he's a little boy. But you know what God's got to do now? God's got to get him into the palace somehow. And God says, "I can work that out." And he causes all of these events to turn. He causes somebody to hear David playing in the field. And he gets David into the palace of the king Saul. So that David can now learn what? The ways and the things of the royal court. Boy, isn't that amazing how God does that? Did it one way in the life of Moses, but he's done it a different way in the life of David. And both of them are able to do. Here's David. David has been anointed to be king. David is going to be king. How are we going to get some king in him? God said, "I'll take care of that. I'll get him right in the very presence of the king, and the king won't even know what's happening right before his very eyes." Right off the bat. Saul doesn't understand David's going to be the man to take his job one day. But God's got him in there training him in the ways of kingship. He sees how the court works. He sees, as a matter of fact, you read on here and you'll see that Saul said, "Let him be my armor bearer." He becomes a close attendant to Saul. He sees the way and the order and the ins and outs of kinghood and of the way Saul conducts business. All that stuff. He gets a whole lesson and Saul don't even know what's going on with it. Isn't that amazing how God does that? How did he get him in there? With his little harp. David went in with his harp to help calm the madness of the king. Can I tell you, music is one of those things. Right now, let me just tell you, man, I look on Facebook and you know, see got a lot of preacher friends and ministry people and all. And right now, music's a hot topic. And you can tear people up with music. Let me just tell you, you can make them mad or you can make them glad with music. But I'll just say this about music. You and I need to be careful of the kind of music that we listen to. Amen? Now, that's coming from somebody that can sit here tonight and probably sing you every word of Elton John singing the Crocodile Rock. Amen? Huh? I mean, I can hear that on the radio, and I'm like, hey, I'm rocking to the Crocodile Rock. And I'm like, where'd that come from? I'm just telling you, that stuff can get on the inside of you. And it does get inside of you. Amen? We was talking with another preacher here the other day, and he said, I can't remember a Bible verse. He said, but I can sit here and, you know, name you off all the words to a Travis Tritt song from years ago. Well, you know, that's us. I mean, those things get on the inside of you, and if you're not careful, man, I'm telling you, hey, there for a while I thought I could start writing them country songs. Amen? There's a tear in my beer. Amen? I mean, you know, I'd go a long way with some of them. Well, rhyming rhythm, right? I'm just, isn't that silly? But some of those things get stuck in you. What I'm saying is this, music has an influence on you. Music has, it does. I mean, as I said, it can calm your soul. It can raise your spirits. It can lower your spirit. It can calm the fears. It can do all kinds of stirrings and movings. I'm amazed. I've heard people sing music. I just sit there and just squall. Why? Because it's the music does something to move your soul. If you'll remember on a little bit later, you'll find that Elisha is trying to find the will of God, and he's having a hard time. You know what he tells the people around? Bring me a minstrel. Bring me somebody in here that can play some music, and you let him play, and God will work this thing out. Isn't that amazing? Hey, I've been in a lot of meetings where I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. Somebody get up and start singing a song, and God said, boom, there it is, and there you are, and you got it all figured out. I'm just telling you, sometimes the music, it just does some different things to us. So don't ever discount the power of music. Music, as I say, can bless you. There's been days I've been in my house long time back. I'd sit there and, boy, I'd sit down and out. You know what I'd do? I'd find me something to listen to that would begin to praise God. Began to help me get my worship on. Woo! Pretty soon I got up out of my seat. I'm a walking through that. I'm a dancing through. I'm about to shout, amen. Huh? And you know, that's music. It can do that for you. So don't underestimate the power of music. That's why your churches have the design of music and all that. That's part of it. I mean, really, it's to be praised to God. Amen. You know what Paul said? There's three kinds of music. He said there's psalms, there's hymns, and there's spiritual songs. And he said, when you get together, hallelujah, have at it with them. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're to worship God through that, making melody in your heart. Amen? Hey, that's music. So don't ever underestimate the power of music. So here we are, the music that's going to better the king. The music. All right? Music has a benefit. If you ever get interested in it, go on YouTube and just look up harp music, and you'll see. And you just sit, you need to go sleep. Lay down with her, son. You'll be knocked out in a few minutes. I mean, it's very calming and relaxing. Okay, well, let's get off that. Let's move on to the man. Let's look at the man now who blessed the king. The man who blessed the king. Let's look, if you will. Matter of fact, we haven't talked about this, but we should have somewhere along the line. We're talking about David. Do y'all know what the name David means? His name means beloved or loved. David's name means he's the beloved. Well, I like what the Bible says here. It says that in verse 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent him to David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. Listen. And he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. There's something about David that just Saul just fell in love with him. And I don't mean that in a vulgar or a rude, ugly way. I'm talking about he just looked, and there's just something about David. There's just something. You know what it is? The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. Amen? And we just read these verses that this man that was talking about him, he said, let me tell you about a man. He said he's a man that he's cunning in play. That means he had a skill. And he said, he's mighty, valiant. He's a man of war, prudent man, comely person. He said, and the Lord's with him. Boy, when the Lord's with you, man, all that other stuff may take a second place to anything but that. Isn't that wonderful to know, though, that you see the man who's going to bless you? First of all, let's look at his character. Let's look at the character of David. I mean, as I said, this fellow said, I've seen the son of Jesse, verse 18 again, Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in play. That word cunning means skilled or skillful. That means David was a good harp player, y'all. Amen? You know what, man? A person in this church come up to me, I'm getting my feelings hurt, y'all ain't asked me to play the piano yet. You know why? Let me get over there and you'll find out. Amen? I can't. But David was skilled in playing. Just like my wife is skilled in playing the piano, he was skilled in playing the harp. He could do it, and he could do it well, and it sounded good, and it sounded right, and it sounded pleasing, and it you know, made a melody. It was beautiful when he did his play. Amen? Boy, ain't that good when you got folks that can do that? Praise God. Let me just tell you, I've been in churches and I pastored a couple of them where we didn't have a piano player. I know I have men call me and send me messages or talk to me at preachers' meetings. You know anybody that's got a piano player, we don't have anybody that can play for us. And I know that's a detriment. I know it causes difficulty. It's hard to do. And, you know, to have a church service like that. But, you know, because the music is that important. And it's good to have somebody that has these kind of characteristics, that are skillful in his play. But not only that, look what else it says. It says he's a mighty, valiant man and a man of war. Now, this is me thinking. This man that saw David, I think he saw him dealing with the obstacles that he dealt with in taking care of the sheep. You remember David says a lion came up and he grabbed him by his beard and a bear tried to take away one of his sheep and all these kinds of things. And David slew them. I believe this man had come across David and he knew, hey, here's a little fellow that ain't afraid of nothing. He's valiant and he's mighty. He'd be a warrior to you, Saul. He's going to be a man. He's not going to run. He's not going to hide. He's not going to be out here, well, let me get in the back line, you know. He's going to be on the front. He's going to be that kind of man. That's his character. That's some of his strengths. He's got skill. He's got strength. Listen to what else it says. It says he's prudent in matters. That word prudent has to deal with your speaking. David knew when to speak, how to speak, and what to speak. Amen? You know what Brother Langston says? Here's his advice for young preachers. He said, preacher, young preacher comes up. Preacher, what do I do when I get up there? How should I be? He said, let me tell you three things. Stand up, speak up, and shut up. Woo! That'll get her done every time right there. Amen? I mean, that's all you got. That's what you need to know. But listen, David was prudent. He knew when to keep his mouth closed. He knew he didn't speak probably unless spoken to. He was very mannerly. He knew words. He understood that. And you say, well, how do we know that, preacher? Well, we know that he knew a lot of things about words because he's the guy that wrote a lot of these that you read in that book of Psalms, right? He had an eloquence. He had a vocabulary. He had some intellect. He had some structuring. I mean, he knew those things. So he was a prudent man. And it says he was a comely man. And that speaks of his stature, the way he looked before. That word comely, sometimes we think it means good looking. But don't y'all get him mixed up with me, okay? Don't. No, he's good looking. But it really meant his physical appearance as far as, you know, his body type. I mean, he was probably well-built, strength-wise, physique, all those things. He was probably very, very strong and gave that kind of a presence when he came in. Let me just tell y'all that y'all know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is? Arnold Schwarzenegger is a comely man. I mean, he's got the muscles, he's got the physique. And I look at him in the face, nah, not too much. I'm telling you, it don't have to do with beauty. It has to do with that presentation of, sorry, Arnold, if you got that, I'm sorry. You ain't a pretty man, okay? Join the club. But anyway, hey, this is David. David was coming. And then last of all, hey, his spiritual side, and the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. Now, what have you got to do for somebody to recognize that the Lord is with you? This man recognized that God was on David. Man, isn't that something? That says something. When you go out in the public, somebody sees you. This fellow, we don't think that he necessarily knew David, but when he ran into him and he had somewhat kind of an interaction with him, he found out that spiritual matters were important to him and he was God's man, that the Lord was with him. And you'll see that. We'll run across that phrase repeatedly throughout this study of David. When you come to different places, Saul will say it. Other men will say it. Some of the people will say it, that the Lord is with David. Can I tell you, none of that other. All that's great and that's fine that he was skillful and he's strong and all that other stuff. But I'll tell you, the best thing that you can have is to know that the Lord is with you. Amen? Amen. All right, so we see his character. Now, look at the way he's called. You see how he's called? I mean, Saul sins and says, send me David thy son, but look, which is with the sheep. Ooh, Saul says, send me the shepherd over here. Send that little shepherd boy over here to me. What does that mean? Hey, I believe Saul understood the responsibility that David felt towards his duties. And he thought, man, if he's that responsible for the sheep, just wait till he gets here, and he's going to be responsible. Whenever I'm in one of these moods, whenever something's happening, he's going to be able to take care of me. Amen? I believe that's what the king is saying. All right. Not only that, but look at this last one. Look at his compliment. As I say, here's David. He is beneficial to the king. It said, verse 23, and it came to pass when an evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. David was able to do what he said, or the others said that he could do. He got there, he played. But could you imagine? I got to thinking, what in the world could David have played? And then again, I got to thinking, wow. Listen to this. Here's David. He could have been playing that strumming along and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He could have been doing this. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift my soul. O God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. That's Psalm 25. But look at this in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Listen to Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity and in whose spirit there is no guile. What do you say? I'm saying David could have been laying there playing all that and singing them songs. You talk about a fella getting calm. Hey, the king would get calm in a hurry. Amen. Boy, isn't that a blessing to know that God was able to bring all this together and complement the call of David and the abilities of David, bring him in and help the king in his time of need. Now, this ain't the end of this story. And, of course, we're going to run on into the next chapter and things are going to change a little bit more with David. But think about how that God can take this young boy, his few talents, his ability, his music, all of these things, and become a blessing into the life of the king. What does that mean? That means God can do some things through you that you think, oh, I don't have anything to offer. I ain't got much. God can use you too if you'll just let him. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song tonight, if you would. Maybe you're here and you need to pray about some things. Maybe there's some stuff going on with you. Maybe you're troubled. Maybe you know somebody that is troubled. I don't know. Maybe you need to pray for them. But I'm glad God's got a way. God's got a man. God's got some abilities and some want-tos and can change the actions and the lives and the way of somebody. Hey, when those things happen and life changes for them, God can send somebody in that can help them with a spiritual presence. Amen. Let's stand if you would.